This sermon today is actually a third in a series of being in the Spirit, and the title of this one is Seeking the Difference. We live in a day and age where churches are being led by the will of man rather than by the will of God. And if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. In many ways, we are modern day Puritans when we compare our church and many churches like ours to the rest of the churches that are in the United States. We would say that in many ways we are Puritans, or in many ways that we are religious separatists, because we want to stay as true as we possibly can to the truths of God's Word. A church that restricts the Word of God will restrict the Spirit of God. Now, I want to say that again. A church that restricts the Word of God, and we see that happening all over the United States, where we're not preaching the Word. In fact, we have gone so far away from the Word, it's a shock when they hear somebody say something about the Word, and all of a sudden they think, oh, you guys are the ones that are wrong, because you're saying all these different things, and in which we are trying to bring the light to the darkness, rather than walking in the darkness with the rest of the world. A church that restricts the Word of God will restrict the Spirit of God. And when you restrict the Spirit of God, you restrict the ministry of Jesus Christ. Christ's ministry is to save, to heal, to deliver, to baptize in the Holy Spirit, is being done today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, very quickly, we'll go there and then we'll leave there. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So you see that the word there, that while Jesus was walking on this earth and he was walking with his disciples, it was only the beginning of his ministry. Only the beginning. So we can't say, well, Jesus died, he was resurrected from the grave, he came down and he taught the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, and then his ministry was all done. It was only the beginning of his ministry when Jesus was on this earth. When Christ was on this earth, his ministry was only beginning. It is still being carried out today through the hands and through the lives of the believers through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you turn with me to John 14 and verse 12, and it says this, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Why would it be greater works? Is because it was not limited to a person anymore. It was limited worldwide through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's being done today through the believers. It is being carried out through the believers. You and I are the hands and the feet of Jesus, but it's not by our power, it's not by our authority, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus' work is continuing on this earth. You've heard me say 1,000 times, God wants people saved more than you do. Do you think that God is going to lead people to a place where the Word is restricted and where the Spirit is restricted and they cannot find Jesus? And the answer is no. The answer is no. 90% of the churches of America, and I just kind of throw that number out, might as well have Ichabod written over their door, because the Spirit has left this place. People look at me on the outside of the church when I talk to them. They can't believe it. Why are you building a church? Why is your church growing? Because the Spirit of God is in this place. The Word is being preached, and God is drawing people in. That's why. Can you feel it? Can you feel the difference? Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when you look at verse 1, and it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," and speaking about Paul, "did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." When you come to Crossroads, it's, I not only want you to hear the Word of God, I want you to feel the Word of God. Many have never attended a full gospel church in their whole entire life. There are those that have attended a traditional church their whole lives and have never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, never felt the power of the Holy Spirit. And for many people, it's very different. It's very different because they have never experienced it. When we say that we not only want to preach the Word and we want you to hear the Word, we want you to feel the Word because the Word of God is living. It's powerful. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, you will feel the difference in a church where it is being preached and where it is being believed, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon that message. Can you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a message? If you go to a church that there is no anointing, you just get bored to death during that message. But all of a sudden, you go to one where the Spirit is quickening and the Spirit is touching people's lives, and all of a sudden, boy, that message could have been a lot longer because I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I come to church, I want to feel His presence. I want to feel His presence. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, it said, Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration the Spirit and the power." Paul is not speaking of his own power, but the power of God. This is a third in a series about being in the Spirit. We talk of churches in America restricting the Spirit of God. But are you in your own life restricting the Spirit of God? Are you seeking the difference between where you are and where you need to be? Are you seeking the difference between where you are and where the Holy Spirit wants you to be? Because there is a difference in each and every one of our lives that we need to be seeking. I remember when I was not saved and when I started going to a church that was a full gospel church, and I seen those people and I seen the joy, I seen the happiness, I seen the peace that they had. There was something different about them, and I wanted that difference in my life. When I seen people that later on after I was saved was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and yes, they spoke in other tongues, there was a difference that was in their life. There was a difference that was in their worship. There was a difference that was in their prayer. And you know what? Pastor Leo started seeking the difference. Church body, we need to seek the difference of where we are and where God wants us to be in our lives. You turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm not going to be able to get into this as deep as I want to, or we'd be here till noon. But in John chapter 14, when we go to verse 15, John 14 and verse 15, it says, "If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will," hallelujah, "be in you." Before I was saved, I saw the difference in other believers. It's because that they were born again. They knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they had the Jesus, the life of Jesus, living within their life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace in my life. I was seeking the difference. Now turn with me to John 16. In John 16, Jesus says, I will not only be with you, I will be in you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He comes in to indwell within your life. Before you knew Jesus, you could not walk in the Spirit because you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But once you accepted Jesus and you had the new birth of the Holy Spirit in your life, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you then had a choice. You then were able to make the decision, I'm not going to walk in the flesh anymore. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be obedient to Christ. I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do instead of what I want to do. So then we go to John 16, verse 7. Verse 7 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. In the old King James Version, it says, it's expedient that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. I will send Him to you. Now go down to verse 13. Verse 13, it says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is of Mine, and He will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He will take of Mine, and He will declare it unto you. When I accepted Jesus, we're going to go back to the rudiments, very basic element. When I accepted Jesus, and I was born again, the Holy Spirit that was in now indwelling in my life began to help. It began to teach me and lead me and guide me. So I had the will or the desire to walk in the Spirit. This is what I want to do, but I know that this is what Jesus wants me to do. I know that this is how I want to react. But I know that this is how Jesus wants me to act, because He's been teaching me. He's been revealing Himself to me in each and every way. Yes, my life was in the starting point of being led by the Spirit. But did I still struggle? Of course I struggled. You and I cannot expect a new believer to walk in the maturity of faith that you have been walking in the Lord for 30 or 40 years. You can't expect them with a legalistic attitude or view to say, well, this is how you should look now that you accepted Jesus. Jesus is doing that work in their life. The main thing is that they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And when they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we let the Holy Spirit mold them. We let the Holy Spirit do a work of sanctification. We let them sit under the Word of God. Let God change them. Nobody ever changed you. It was between you and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen? You can't change because somebody tells you you need to change. You ever raised any kids? Hello? You can tell them all the change that needs to take place. They're not going to change until they're willing and ready to take place. But if we can get them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart 24/7, leading them, guiding them, directing them, comforting them, then that brings change in each and every one of their lives. But was I there yet? Well, I'm not there yet today. But I continue to work on. I keep thinking about the Apostle Paul. He says, not that I have attained, but I keep pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Not that I have attained, but I keep putting things back over my shoulder. I'm not like Jesus yet. I'm not walking exactly like Jesus yet, but I'm a lot closer today than the day I accepted Jesus. Amen? Amen. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we go to verse 16. There's a lot more that we could read, but we won't take time. But I encourage you, when you go home today, read Galatians chapter 5. But in verse 16, he says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he goes in and he starts telling us what the things of the flesh are. And then he tells us what the things of the Spirit are. The things that I need to walk in. You see, it says in John chapter 15, I believe, that he is the vine, we are the branches. You don't produce joy, you don't produce peace, and you don't produce love. He produces that through you as you cling to him. And as you cling to him and have that desire to walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, he's going to produce those things through your life if you allow him to do it. But the flesh's pull on my life has weakened. What do I attribute this victory to? I don't walk in the spirit flesh like I did when I wasn't saved. I don't even walk in the flesh as much as I used to when I was just saved. What do I attribute today? Not that I am perfect. I've already told you what Paul said. He kept pressing towards the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So what does Pastor Leo share with you today that's been the most impactful thing in my life to get me to where I am walking more, I believe, more in the Spirit than I am the flesh? Well, number one, we've already talked about it. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I can attribute the victory that is taking place in my life, number one, from being saved. Because all of a sudden I had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my life to lead and guide and direct. But number two, to deepen my walk, to get me closer to the Lord and get me deeper in the walking of the Holy Spirit, was being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to go back to the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 1, verse 4. In Acts chapter 4, or Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This has all been prophesied in the Scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit that would fall on the believers. And you've heard me say many times in the past, if this would have not happened where the believers were endued with power from on high, you would only be speaking about Christianity in the history books. It would not be alive and real today. What propels the gospel, what drives the gospel, what has the gospel expand is the power of the Holy Spirit. When a church walks away from the power of the Holy Spirit, you're walking out on your own. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit more than anything else. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit more than you need a good preacher. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit more than you need good teachers. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit more than you need money. Because if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you have nothing. A church must always strive in their relationship, and the pastors are supposed to make it evident in the church body to make the atmosphere in such a way that you come in and you feel worship, you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it brings you in an inner reaction between you and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to have an inner reaction other than I love you and want to greet you, but I don't want to seek that inner reaction between you and me. You need to come to church seeking and desiring the interaction between you and the presence of a mighty God. Because he is the one that makes change in your life. He is the one that empowers your life. And that's what we're talking about, is the power of the Holy Spirit today. He goes on to say, so we'll read verse 4 again. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now, John already has said, and you go back in the Gospel of John, I didn't write that scripture down, but this one that is coming, I do not have the ability even to latch his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So he reflects off that in verse 5. But John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, saints, let me ask you, do you have that power today? Do you have that power in your life? Is that power emitting from your very soul? It's available to you. It was available to them then, and it's available to us today. The scripture, if you go with me to Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to take you back 3 weeks ago to the very first time that I read this scripture in Revelations. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation 1 and verse 8. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Speaking about the Lord Jesus. He's the beginning and he's the end and he is everything in between. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He had been banished. He was exiled. He was all by himself. But then he goes on to say in the scripture, in verse 10, that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I do not believe that John the Revelator is just telling you, I was just sitting around because I accepted Jesus and the Comforter was speaking this to my heart. I believe that John was worshiping in the Holy Spirit. And when he was worshiping in the Holy Spirit, it set him in a place that he could receive a revelation from God. I believe John was not speaking from a position of being saved, but from a position of being saved and full of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the difference? And do you see the difference in his life? Are you seeking the difference in your own life? We should always seek the difference, no matter where we are at. No matter where we are at on this growth in our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus, what are you doing right now in your life, in your daily life, in your daily devotions, in your daily prayer, in your daily worship, that you're seeking the difference? Are you seeking that difference today? I'm telling you that these disciples were not only empowered, but they were revolutionized with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that Pastor Leo has not only been empowered, but he was revolutionized by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must never, ever separate ourselves to say, well, that's for the pastors, or that's for the teachers, or for that's for people that are closer to God. He wants to give it to you so you'll be closer to God. Amen. Everyone, it is available to everyone, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, in many churches, you will, and I can't go as far as I'd like to in this message because we're going to run out of time. Because I could go on for another hour. But there's very few churches that you'll hear it even spoke about. And I'm not only saying that you are very few churches that you'll hear it spoken about in the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Christian Church, the Church of Christ. There is very few Pentecostal churches. There is very few full gospel churches that you will hear this spoken about today in this world. We can go on TV and we can watch about vampires and we can watch about the living dead and we can watch about ghosts and we can watch about witches and we can turn on and watch that, all these other shows about witches and all this, and we don't think a thing about it. But when you come to the house of the Lord and you talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, everybody says, oh no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Why do you not want to do that? Because your flesh does not want to do that. You need to seek the difference because God wants it for you. Amen. Believe that. God wants it for me. When you leave here today, I don't care what you think, but I want you to know this about yourself. God wants it for you. Because He wants to empower you and to build you up in the most holy faith so you'll be able to walk in the Spirit rather than walking in the flesh. Every church member needs it. I remember 30 years ago they said at a Four Square conference one time, they said, it will not be 10 years from now that you're going to hear this not even being spoken about in the Four Square church because it makes people feel uncomfortable. Well, since when did the Holy Spirit not make me feel uncomfortable? The Holy Spirit's in the business of making the comfortable feel uncomfortable and the uncomfortable feel comfortable. Amen? Amen. That's what He wants to do in your life. He wants to empower and He wants to supercharge your life.